This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and
me,
it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 on your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
All right, everybody, get your heads right. On a Tuesday morning, it's Ben and Woods live from Padres spring training out in Peoria, Arizona. It is a chilly, chilly morning out here. We've got the door open in here for some ungodly reason. Let me introduce the cast of characters that you will be listening to today. Back in the studio today, we've got Hammer. Good morning, Hammer.
What's up, guys?
Miss you, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I miss you guys like crazy.
You're bored out of your mind?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We wish you were here. We'll be back on Thursday, back in studio, all together again, reunited. We've got Brian on the board. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, good morning.
Thanks for filling in, my friend. We've got our executive producer is out here with us. He's running things behind the scenes. His name is Paul Reindl. Good morning, Paulie.
Behind the scenes, in front of the scenes,
yes,
to the left of the scenes.
All the scenes.
Where are the scenes?
The scenes are where we are. That's where the scene is. And you hear the dulcet tones of my co-host, my friend, Benjamin R. Higgins.
It's not R, but good morning to you.
I like to say R for everybody. Paul R. Reindl. Hammer R. Perlin.
Stephen R.
Woods.
Woods.
Yeah, it's an old bit we used to do on my old show. I don't know why. I don't know how where it came from, but it just was. It just worked. Benjamin R. Higgins.
I am sorry if you're cold. I was starting to heat up.
Yeah.
Hot coffee.
You run very hot.
Just running hot, so I thought I'd crack the door and just keep us awake. The last thing you want to do is start getting...
Well, it's sleepy.
It's true. And tired. We're already sitting on a couch.
It's true.
Which is going to make me a little tired to begin with.
Yeah.
But, no, I got good sleep last night at our palatial luxury hotel. That if anyone was listening to the show yesterday knows all about, or following our Twitter feed. No incidents in my room last night.
Trying to think. This was interesting. I got home yesterday. I laid down on the bed. And there was a loud knock at my door. I thought it may be Paul. So I go to the door. I'm in my man panty underwear, and which, you know, the boxer briefs, and a T-shirt, thinking it may be Paul. It wasn't Paul. It was a maintenance man. And he said, and he's holding this giant bench. And he says, can I put this under your vanity? I said, oh, okay. And then he walked in and put it under the vanity. And he said, well, see you later. I said, all right, see you around.
How much did you tip him?
I didn't tip him one single nickel. There will be no tips left at this dump of a hotel that we are at. I did hear some early morning drag racing going on. We're right. I mean, you can throw a rock and you're going to hit the freeway. So somebody was drag racing, it sounded like.
Just, you could drive right into my room.
You could. Yeah, you could actually drive right into Ben's room. So it's been great. One more night there. Wait, right? Yeah, one more night there, and then we're out of there, thank God. And going to go home and flog our boss, Adam, as soon as we see him for booking this trip.
Feels like it's actually more than just our second show here.
It does.
Just because we've made our days full of baseball, went out to Surprise yesterday,
yep.
Watched the game, just kind of filled the time out here at the Peoria Sports Complex, and getting ready for baseball season. It feels very real once you're out here in Peoria.
I told the guys yesterday when we went out, so we wrapped up the show and walked out to the backfields. We posted a couple of pictures, and we were watching Jace Tingler run an infield practice. And it had to have been the most high-energy infield practice I've ever seen. They were moving at lightning speed. They were moving, sweating. It was, you know, ground ball to Hosmer, who threw it to third, who threw it back to the pitcher, who threw it to home, who threw it back to third, who threw it across to first. I mean, it was bananas. And they ran this thing for, 10, 15 minutes, and we were sitting there watching. I looked at Ben, and I go, I got tingles right now. It's back. You know, baseball is back for me. My seasonal depression pretty much ends at opening day. I'm just in a much better headspace. I'm in a much better mood. Coming home from work, coming home from anywhere, knowing there's going to be a baseball game on. Just, I'm a better dad. I'm a better husband. I'm a better friend and a better human when baseball is back.
One of the observations I think it's pretty easy to make is that Jace Tingler runs a really crisp workout.
Yep.
Now, does that mean he's going to be a great manager?
No.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
He's just getting started. But when you talk to people who've been around baseball – and they've been to other spring trainings, and they show up in Peoria, they would say, oh, whoever is the manager here has run spring trainings before. He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
He's efficient. You know, they get down to business. People are moving fast. Their heads are in the game, paying attention. It doesn't feel like a manager who's just getting his feet wet in his first spring training. So, you know, A-plus so far for Jace Tingler, at least in running an early spring training camp.
Well, even just talking to people that have been here for 10, 15, 20 years, all saying the same thing. Yeah, there's a different vibe out here.
Yeah, Paul and I.
There's a much different vibe this year at spring training.
There's a guy Paul and I know pretty well, and we talked to him yesterday, and he just kind of, you know, I don't want to burn his name, but he was like, hey, it's much different. It's much different. The meetings are quick. They're quicker. It's not a lot of, you know, belly aching
fluff
in there. It's not a lot of fluff. It's more of, hey, this is what I want. This is what I expect. Go out and get it done. And they do, and they have. And listen, you know, the caveat is we're on, like, day three. So I wouldn't – it's these guys, while they're smiling and having fun yesterday, in about 3 weeks when he's running that drill, I don't think you're going to see the same happy, jovial faces because it is a bit of a grind. We talked to Garrett Richards on our show yesterday, and I straight up asked him, is spring training too long? He said, yeah, absolutely. It's about a month too long. You need about 4 weeks to get ready, but, hey, it is what it is. But as long as those guys are responding to, listening to their new manager, which it seems by all accounts they are, and everybody seems to be pretty friggin' happy out here, it was a really fun day yesterday being back on those backfields.
Tell you what, after our show, Garrett Richards went out and threw a bullpen
session
we were watching. And when we had him in here yesterday, I asked him point blank. I said, are you back to where you were when you were at the top of the Angels rotation? I know, you know, it's yet to be determined, but at least how you feel. And he gave a political answer a little bit. He said, well, you know, we got to wait and see, but I do feel good. I mean, my arm feels good, and I like where I'm heading. And we went out and watched Garrett Richards throw. And, I've never stood in against a major league pitcher, but I've watched several of these bullpen sessions over the years, and been close enough to the game that I feel confident in telling you, Garrett Richards' stuff was very real. I mean, very, even on a major league level, sharp breaking balls,
beyond.
Good movement, good velocity. He looked like he was ready to be back being Garrett Richards again this season, which is a great sign for the Padres.
Well, it was pretty funny because during our interview, we asked him about his changeup, and he was throwing a couple changeups, though it's the one pitch. I saw him throw probably five changeups. One of them was devastatingly nasty. The other four were not good. Left him up, left him away. It's something he's working on. But I'll tell you guys what. The slider, the curveball, good Lord. You want to talk about sharp, nasty, and the velo, too. He was popping the outside corner. His velo was probably 9.4. I mean, it was dirty on the outside.
It's one thing
corner.
When you're standing, you know, get center field camera view and you're seeing a big breaking ball. We were a little off to the side, and you could still see
nasty
how much that ball was moving.
It's sharp as a tack, man. It really was. So it's been good, man. We've had a good time. Had a nice dinner last night with Jesse Agler. He's going to be joining us later in the show. Hammer, you have a big fan out here.
Oh, who?
His name's Jesse Agler. He's a big fan of your work. You weren't there, Benny. You were on a phone call.
That's right.
When we were talking, when Jesse was telling us about.
Yes, I was on with Gwynn and Chris.
Yes, yes.
So I missed this.
And Jesse Agler, our incorporator, our buddy, Padres broadcaster, wanted to let us know just how much he enjoys the work of Alex the Hammer Perlin.
No way.
I swear to God. On my mother, I swear to God.
We were kind of just talking about the show and, you know, what's been working, what do we got plans for, and he goes, you know what? Hammer is a gold mine.
He's a frigging gold mine. He goes, what a great
highlight of the show.
He goes, well, he's what a great addition that kid has been. I said, I know. I told you.
Well, I noticed. So I was on Jesse Agler's Twitter profile, and I saw that he followed me back. So that makes Jesse probably the most famous person that actually follows me. So this is amazing. I have no idea. I'm like sweating of excitement.
Why don't we just let Hammer interview Jesse at
7 that would be
o'clock.
So great. Oh, that's so electric. Great. So yeah, he's got a big fan out here. We did run into some listeners of the show yesterday as well out at the game. Our boy Donnie ran into Mailman Rob on Twitter and his family. They were out here as well and got me thinking, you know, next year I want to do this again, but I'm bringing my family next year. I'm going to bring my son Bo, and as soon as we're done with the show, me and him are going to go back to those backfields and watch those guys play, and then we're going to go watch a baseball game. I want him to be able to grow up out here if I have that opportunity. It's just, it really is special. If you guys haven't been to spring training yet, it's my first time. I could not recommend it enough. Great facility, too. Yesterday we went over to in the where the Rangers and the
Surprise, Royals. Royals, that's who they play.
Yeah, they share a beautiful, beautiful facility in Surprise. Very, very cool day all around for us.
And today is going to be extra special. I hope you feel the same way. I certainly do. Our opportunity to get into the booth with Jesse Agler for today's Padres-A's game, which we are going to carry for you here on 97.3 The Fan. 12 o'clock noon San Diego time, 1 o'clock Mountain time. We will be in the booth calling the game. Me, you, Jesse, a Ben and Woods Padres radio takeover today that I've been like planning for the last few months, and I'm very excited about the opportunity to work with you in a different setting,
yes,
different context, baseball play-by-play, and get to work with Jesse, who I've come to enjoy tremendously over the last few years since he came to San Diego and joined the Padres radio team.
I've got some concerns.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
I've got some concerns.
You want to share them with us, or shall we do that when we come back?
I'll share my concerns with you when we come back. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Ben, what's up early with you live from Padres spring training in Peoria, Arizona? I haven't seen any players yet, but we arrive with the staff. I can smell them getting breakfast ready because we're right next to the kitchen.
Yeah, apparently on the menu today is something burnt. Burnt toast, I think, is what these guys are going to get for breakfast. It's very – something's burning, right?
I can smell that, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely smell that.
They're burning here. Something.
Smoky.
They're smoking something. It doesn't smell like barbecue
smoked
or anything.
Bacon, no. It's
more burnt of a toast, burnt English muffin.
Carbs being burned.
Yeah,
that's
at the exactly
moment.
Right. Which is something we have not done since we've been out here. Burn any carbs. Not one. Not one.
Here's what we've got coming up, at least tentatively scheduled this morning. Obviously, we're working around the schedule of the Padres. They are trying to get work done. It is spring training.
I'm afraid to announce.
Chris Paddock is going to be with us at 6:30.
Allegedly.
Pre-meeting should be.
Not now, now that we've put
now
it
that
out
you
there.
Put it
we're
out
very
there,
confident that Chris Paddock is going to join us.
All right.
I'll put my reputation on the line because that really
God,
is,
you are done.
Really, I don't have much of a reputation to put on the line. So
not anymore.
It's a small bet. It's like the minimum limits at the table.
Yes.
Jesse Agler, as you mentioned, is going to be with us at 7 o'clock. We're going to do the Double Secret Incorporator today with Jesse
we
at the
are.
Game. So looking forward to that. We'll explain when Jesse comes around. After that, we're hoping to catch up with some guys after their early meetings, before stretch, going out onto the field. We should have a couple more players, but I'll leave that kind of floating out there karmically in the universe. We will talk about the Kobe Bryant Memorial. We're going to do a little bit of that coming up. But Kevin Frazier, who always seems to be there for the biggest events in L.A. Entertainment Tonight has been with us many times before, is going to join us with the L.A. perspective in our 8 o'clock hour at 8:35. All guests on Ben and Woods appear on the SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. I don't want you to have concerns today about our play-by-play experience, our booth takeover with Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have concerns? What's your issue?
Well, I got a few.
Open up to me.
I've got a
few. Let's try to work
this
out.
How does this make you feel?
We got 4 hours here to work this out before we go and do an actual baseball broadcast. And I don't want that to go poorly. I want that to go well.
Woodsy?
I want to be invited back.
It's not your fault.
I know it's not my fault.
It's not your fault.
I got a we got an email yesterday with the broadcast schedule.
Right.
They wanted to lay it out. So inning one, play-by-play, Jesse Agler. Color one, Ben Higgins. Color two, Stephen Woods.
Pretty... Right, Jesse's the main play-by-play announcer.
No.
Number one always calls the first inning.
Right. So then Jesse's going to do 3 innings of play-by-play. You're going to be color one for 3 innings. I'm going to be color two. If you look in the color two column, doesn't change at all. I'm color two the whole game. I feel like I'm not needed. I feel like this should just be a fun Ben and Jesse do baseball day, and that I am like I'm the third wheel. I'm the redheaded stepchild. I'm your buddy. I'm the guy in a group of three handsome men, two handsome men. I'm the ugly kid with the club foot. You know, like, oh, we got to bring him out. Well, my mom's making me take him out. Fine. I'm that guy. I'm club foot
guy. I think you're reading too much into this. You're color two because you're double the color of me. I'm color one. I'm pretty bland. You're color two. You are enhancing the color of the broadcast.
So that's fine. Whatever. I'll sit quietly and watch the game.
Booger Woods.
Yeah, Booger Woods. It's really what it is. I'm Booger McFarland. So Ben and I decided yesterday, we were at the game, and I said, hey, this will be fun. Let's practice our play-by-play. Ben is very good. Hey, listen out there. He's very good.
Jesse's very good. I'm very good for someone who doesn't get to do it very often.
Well, yeah.
Jesse's very, very good.
That's what Jesse does.
Ted is very good.
Jesse is that's what he does.
I'm a good amateur.
But, man, I was sitting there with Ben. So I'm trying to throw in little comments, and Ben was just plowing through. I just want to make sure I'm heard today. Well, you have to react.
Why do I change my normal behavior? I don't react to you.
I know.
That's how I operate.
I'm afraid my jokes are going to get lost.
As usual. There you go. It'll be just like the show.
Oh, God. Why are we doing
this? It'll be an authentic Ben and Woods experience during a Padres A's broadcast.
It really will be. No, I'm really excited for this. It's going to be fun. I'm breaking balls. It's going to be a good time. And they're going to be taking on the A's today. And did a little research on them yesterday, Ben, and I know you did as well. Excited to see these guys. These guys win a lot of baseball games, this team.
The A's basically are where the Padres might be here in the next couple of years because they play in a division with a dominant team. In their case, the Houston Astros, who have won the division. The A's have won 97 games each of the past 2 years. Not good enough to win the division,
crazy.
Only good enough to get to the wild card game, which they've lost both years.
Yep.
So 97 wins, that's 194 wins in 2 years and zero playoff victories.
It's massive.
It's a cautionary tale a little bit when you play in a division with such a great team. Padres, of course, have the Dodgers, who are overwhelming favorites this year. The A's are hoping this is the year that they overtake the Astros in the American League West. Maybe use some of the strife, some of the scandal. Maybe the Astros are going to be vulnerable this year where they can move up. They're not a team loaded with household everyday names.
No.
They have some really, really good players. I know if you're just a casual baseball fan, hopefully you know who Matt Chapman is.
Yep.
Their
third baseman. Really good.
Marcus Semien, I didn't even realize, was the number 3 AL MVP vote getter last year. Another great player. And they quietly have one of the best pitching staffs in the American League. I think everyone's heard about Mike Fiers, obviously, the former Astro, based on what's been going on lately. But Sean Manea is excellent. We're going to see their number one prospect, left-hander Jesus Luzardo, on the mound today.
You hear a lot about this kid.
A couple other guys who are coming up. They have a really good team, and they're thinking somewhere in the 90s. Maybe they can push it up to close to 100 if everything goes well for the team this season. And you still don't know if that's enough, though, with the Houston Astros in a division.
Yeah, it's crazy. They are, you know, they're that team that they're scrappy. Yeah, it's so cliche. They play the game the right way. I mean, those guys are there's a special brand of A's baseball, and they believe it. Everybody, and it's happened, guys, since the Moneyball time. I mean, really, like, think about the guys that have been, that come up with that team that have ended up going to other places, the Josh Donaldsons of the world. You know, back in the day, it was Jason Giambi, Johnny Damon, all those cats. There is a way they play baseball in Oakland, and it's a really sad state of affairs right now in Oakland, and it's pretty embarrassing if you want to be honest. That team is a team that, A, is really fun to watch, really fun to get behind and support. There's no giant money, you know, superstars. They just go out and win a ton of baseball games, and nobody goes to see them.
Yeah, I mean, Padres have massively more support
massively
in San Diego than the A's do in Oakland.
I mean, in the, you know, the A's are, they're not going to broadcast their games on radio this year. It's really like a sad, sad franchise. But excited to see them today. I mean, again, they've got so many players that are so just good, and they all work well together. They are the kind of the true definition of a team.
What's the status of the A's organization as far as staying in Oakland? Isn't there been speculation for the last
They want a stadium.
They're making progress. I mean, I've seen the renderings, and while that means nothing in San Diego, perhaps in Oakland it means a little bit more of a kind of almost waterfront-type stadium on the East Bay side near kind of their quaint downtown sort of area. I guess I'm not exactly sure where the financing, where the political, you know, ramifications and all that have gotten to, but
so you don't follow Oakland politics very much.
Not that closely.
All right.
Not that closely. But it's California, so it's, you know, we know how difficult it is to get anything built and done. But as it relates to the Padres here, the A's, I mean, think about this. If the Padres had a great season this year, let's say they do surprise. Everything comes together in Jace Tingler's first year, and they win 94-95 games. We'd all be happy with that, right? Really
happy.
Absolutely. We'd be thrilled. Beyond the moon. Still probably not going to be good enough to win the division. Dodgers are going to win probably 100 games, if, you know, maybe even more than that this year. So that's going to get to the Padres to a wild card game, likely. One game, maybe at home, maybe on the road. This is what the A's have had to deal with the last couple of seasons. They have had great years. Padres' most wins in franchise history is 98. They've done back-to-back 97 the last 2 years.
And nobody goes.
And it doesn't guarantee them success in the postseason at all. It gives you one shot there. You flip a coin, win a game, lose a game. Maybe you get to a divisional series.
And, you know, I think there's a lot of fans there that are happy with that. Honestly, I mean, again, for as many people as don't go to that ballpark, they couldn't find anybody to broadcast their games. It's been a whole thing in Oakland. It's sad, though. It's sad to see kind of what that franchise has become.
And it's a little different because they're media markets, the entire Bay Area. Yeah. So you got a lot of stations that are trying to attract San Francisco, West Bay, listeners, San Jose, all those. They're going like, they don't care about the A's at all. We're gonna lose
money.
Two-thirds of our audience when we move to an A's game because no one on the west side of the Bay is going to pay attention at all. So there is a bit of a different dynamic working up there.
Yeah, but still, like, not being able to catch your local team on the radio is it's sad for our business. There's no doubt about it. It makes me very, very sad. Imagine not being able to tune in and catch a Padre game with Ted and Jesse, you know, or Ben and Woods in our case today. But it just, yeah, so that's who we're going to be calling the game against today. I am very excited, Ben. I just ask that let's get in a good rhythm. Remember, I'm there.
Are you going to be sitting behind us, or can we see? I don't know where we've got you set up.
You know what?
Hopefully you're in the front row.
I'm sure I'll be sitting in a back chair.
Why don't you just come to the Moon Saloon with me, and you can call in?
Yeah, I'll just call in. Can I text you bits? I'll text you. You read them. Is that better?
No, I want you in there. In there with us.
To see how the real broadcasters do it.
If yesterday's test run in the stands and surprise was any indication.
We're going to be fine.
You're going to be interrupting me all the time, aren't you?
Interrupting him. He didn't even pay attention. You want to? We can practice it on the air. There's a game on right now.
Oh no, I'm not ready to call the Boston Red Sox, Tampa Bay Rays right now off a television
Don't
screen.
Don't be chicken.
It's too early.
Don't be chicken.
Too early. When we come back, we got some hammer time. We will turn
McGuire
things over.
Set. He's ready to go. Here's the pitch. Runner on first. That ball is in the dirt.
Thank you, Paul Reindel.
Ball one.
That would have been a good pitch to run on, Paulie.
Is Paul mad that he wasn't invited to the booth
Probably.
Takeover?
Probably. It happens.
We've got Hammer, who also wasn't even invited all the way to Arizona.
I know.
But we are going to turn things over to Hammer for a little hammer time coming up. Also, I don't even know how I want to talk about this. That ceremony yesterday, memorial for Kobe and Gianna Bryant at Staples Center. It was one of the hardest things just to go back and watch it last night. They replayed it on ESPN2, and I was trying to watch it. It was like kind of in and out. But it was so great, yet it was so hard and so painful and so emotional. Want to get your thoughts on that coming up, Woods. It's Ben Woods right here live from Padres Spring Training, Peoria, Arizona, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So I missed it.
You did.
I was in the restroom
you
during
did.
The break.
Yep.
I missed it.
Yes, you did.
Tell everybody what I missed.
Our sweet prince getting here 6:30 this morning, walking by. I'm outside getting a little fresh air and strolling in.
One of the very first players to arrive.
Correct.
Probably the first. I
yeah,
haven't seen anybody
I haven't
else.
Seen anybody else. Our sweet prince, Fernando Tatis Jr., walks right past me. I go, hey, good morning. Put my hand down. He shakes my hand, walks past me into the locker room. Don't smell
still,
my hand.
Still 21,
Come smell my hand.
22?
Smell his hand.
Come smell my hand.
That's fine. I'm guessing you wash yours as much as Hammer washes his.
I'm going to rub it all over
hopefully,
me.
I'm uncomfortable.
Hopefully, and I'm not teasing. This is not a tease. Hopefully, I will get to make up for it later this morning. Just
sounds
gonna
like
throw,
a tease.
Going to throw that out into the universe right now.
He's such a stud.
I don't know how Vanessa Bryant did it. I really don't. We'll get to Kobe's memorial ceremony at Staples Center right after a check of traffic here with Kelly Danick on 97.3 The Fan.
Watch out for a little activity on the Washington Street on-ramp to the northbound 163 in the Hillcrest area. Apparently a motorcycle is down over to the right shoulder, so take it extra carefully there. Crash has cleared on the westbound side of the 52 right around Mast Boulevard. You're pretty much good to go coming out of Santee at this time. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All eyes on downtown Los Angeles yesterday, Woods. And I would have said it would have been courageous of Vanessa Bryant to just be there.
Attending.
Sitting there in the front row and listening to, Kobe's friends and some legends talk about him and their daughter together. Just to be there would have taken an enormous amount of courage. To stand up on the stage in front of an absolute packed Staples Center, quiet as church, alone, at a podium, and deliver from the heart what she was feeling about her husband and her daughter that she lost a month ago. It was beyond anything I could have ever thought I was going to see yesterday.
Yeah, it's beyond anything that I would be capable of. There's no question about it.
I think we've all heard it now at this point. I think most people have watched. But this is just a little taste of Vanessa Bryant from yesterday's memorial at Staples Center.
He isn't going to be here to drop Bianca and Capri off at pre-K or kindergarten. He isn't going to be here to tell me to get a grip V when we have to leave the kindergarten classroom or show up to our daughter's doctor's visits for my own moral support. He isn't going to be able to walk our girls down the aisle or spin me around on the dance floor while singing PYT to me. But I want my daughters to know and remember the amazing person, husband, and father he was. The kind of man that wanted to teach the future generations to be better and keep them from making his own mistakes. He always liked working and doing projects to improve kids' lives. He taught us all valuable lessons about life and sports through his NBA career, his books, his show Detail, and his Punies podcast series. And we're so thankful he left those lessons and stories behind for us. He was thoughtful and wrote the best love letters and cards. And Gigi had his wonderful ability to express her feelings into paper and make you feel her love through her words. She was thoughtful like him. They were so easy to love. Everyone naturally gravitated towards them. They were funny, happy, silly, and they loved life. They were so full of joy and adventure. God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team. We love and miss you, Boo Boo and Gigi. May you both rest in peace and have fun in heaven until we meet again one day. We love you both and miss you forever and always. Mommy.
All right.
You were just saying.
Were we off? Well, did they hear my comments?
Yeah, I don't think they heard your comments.
Why did we play that? Why?
Yeah, Paul is weeping. We're all tearing up again. It's every time I see it.
I cried like four times watching that stuff yesterday.
It's awful.
It's not awful. It's
awful.
Wonderful.
It's terrible.
It's absolutely amazing, is what it is. That she could do that and express what she was feeling. It's part of the healing process. Unfortunately, it's a really, really hard part of the healing process to have to go through that. But what an unbelievable job she did. And, you know, if you didn't feel for her already, I mean, how can you not?
There's no way. There's no way for me, there'd be no way I could recover. She's got other children she has to take care of. But if I lost Hannah and Bo, that'd be it for me. That's it. Put me in a box. I much less go speak at their funeral or a memorial or something. There's just no way. There's no way. None.
I mean, LeBron could barely handle it. In fact, he was kind of unseen at the ceremony. Paul was just showing me that someone spotted him almost like a Where's Waldo. He was way in the back.
He's wearing like a hoodie.
He wouldn't even admit that he was there. I don't think he could necessarily handle it to be there. Of course, you know, Michael Jordan got up and was just weeping openly. Even joked about it.
Which, by the way,
it was a good line. We have. I think we have Michael Jordan.
We got Jordan. This is great.
It was a good line.
This is great.
I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks.
Just crying, Jordan. This is the greatest thing of all time.
I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years. That is what Kobe Bryant does to me.
I don't think I ever really considered what Jordan ever felt about the crying Jordan.
Right? Meme. Like, crying Jordan, it's just, like, it's a bit when it started, I was like, oh, this is pretty funny. And then I was like, all right, this is too much. Now, I can't get enough. Yeah. Every time somebody loses a game, there are two bits in my life that I love more than anything, two memes. Crying Jordan, when they put his face on, you know, the Astros or something, it kills me. And then the Kevin Durant, my next chapter.
Yeah.
My next chapter bit, it just kills me. Some team wins a championship, Kevin Durant. I'm going to Liverpool or wherever, whoever wins the championship. Like, it's the funniest thing of all time. It never fails to get me.
Like, we're at the game yesterday. We're in Surprise, Arizona. We're sitting down pregame, and I'm scrolling through Twitter. I'm like, oh, the ceremony's still going right now. And it says right at the top, live, Lakers feed.
Yeah.
And it's Michael Jordan bawling, like weeping.
Like, tears are jumping out of his eyes.
And
they're pouring down his face.
The sick person in me, the first thing I thought of was like, oh, my God, guys, we're getting a
real life
crying Jordan again.
Yeah. For him to bring that up, I thought was just hysterical. I mean, look, you have to, you know, there was a lot of humor involved yesterday.
For him to even be there was shocking.
It's pretty amazing.
He does not do that.
Yeah.
He does not get vulnerable, even if he does go out in public.
Guy's the biggest
hard-ass
of all time.
He doesn't do that, and Vanessa has never been a public figure as Kobe Bryant's wife. You've seen her, obviously, you know, with Kobe places, but she doesn't generally speak. She certainly doesn't do, like, news conferences, talk to the media, doesn't do sit-down interviews. She was the strength behind the man. For her to get out in front and do that yesterday, again, just floored me. floored me at what an incredible job she did. It was amazing.
Yeah, Shaq also spoke a little bit. We got a little Shaq.
Yeah, we got some Shaq.
Is it bleeped?
I hope so.
Sure hope so.
I hope so, too.
Reckless. The guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an ME in that mother.
That is a very Kobe Bryant.
Very much. Line. Yeah, there's an ME in that.
You know, it's one of the weird, interesting things about Kobe's legacy as a basketball player. Of course, was known as a bit of a ball hog.
Yeah, you could say that.
But was that in the best interest of the team?
Are you setting yourself up because you're also a ball hog?
I don't think I'm a ball
hog. There's an ME in that MF or two. So tomorrow when we come in and replay and talk about our calling the game to him and be like, man, Ben, you got to pass the ball every now and then. You're like, yeah, there's an ME in that MF.
I think I want to do whatever's best for the team.
Likewise.
If that means I need to control the offense a little bit, then sometimes so be it. You know,
true.
I just want us to win.
I'm more of a behind-the-scenes guy myself.
If I think I need to defer, I'm willing to do that. I just need it to be the right situation.
I feel like this whole preamble is a setup on me for our game later. I really do.
It's no setup.
All right.
It's no setup.
Basketball is like the one sport, though, where one guy can really take
no doubt.
Football, I mean, if your running back is on fire and the best player in the NFL, you can't just hand it off to him every single time.
Yeah, they're going to stop him at some point.
Will eventually stop him.
Yeah.
Mike Trout can't say, you know what, I'm just going to hit for 7 out of the 9
yeah,
spots.
I'm going to go
lineup.
Up and I got yours. I'm going to take your AB. Like, now, that would be interesting. If you could, be like, hey, Trout's going to go 1 through 6. He's like, just dying. Like, man, Trout's always taking my
He's
ABs.
Have 2,000 at-bats in a season.
What if the rule was, as long as you're not on base,
you can hit,
be up as many times as you want?
That's amazing. That'd be amazing.
I wonder how you would work that strategy. Would you have your best player hit 1, 2, 3? I mean, if you made outs 1 and 2, would you want to try someone else? Would you just keep throwing Mike Trout up there until he got a hit on base,
yeah,
and then you went with your,
yeah,
best 100%. Player? 100% of the time.
What would you do here? What would you do if you're the Padres and you could do that?
It'd be Manny Tatis.
Everybody else is just like, just waiting for their turn after they get tuckered out after 3 innings. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to.
You want to keep fresh. I mean, you don't want to get a guy with 20 at-bats during the game. His arm's going to fall off.
20.
So you have, 20, you have load management.
It's 20 like, at-bats in a game would be incredible. Oh, man.
In baseball, Fernando Tatis and San Diego Padres went 8 for 22. Yeah,
8 for 22. Not a bad day. No, man. You're right, though. I mean, Kobe was a bit of a chucker at some times. I mean, he would take friggin' 50, 60 shots. And you're like, holy cow. But, I mean, he was one of the best to ever do it. Obviously, a really sad day. Jimmy Kimmel hosted, did a great job from what we heard. We heard a little audio this morning. Pretty broken up about it as well. What a scene, though, in L.A. Yesterday, remembering Kobe Bryant and Vanessa. The Vanessa audio is just so hard to listen to. Yeah.
So what happens now? I don't know that this – usually a memorial service gives a little closure.
Yeah.
Not that anyone – you know, you don't forget the departed, but at that point you're supposed to move on. I don't know that Los Angeles is ready to move on, especially as long as it's still basketball season,
yeah,
and the Lakers are still going to be playing games at Staples Center and trying to – I mean, they're trying to now win a championship for Kobe, right? That's
unquestionable.
That's what this season is now about. LeBron, I think, feels a responsibility. Already, obviously, you know, he wants to win a title, but there's added pressure this year that it will be a disappointment on another level for Los Angeles if they don't win this one.
There's no question.
It's a tough spot for LeBron to be in.
You know, it was going to be hard. It was going to be really hard anyway. I mean, it was, you know, LeBron James is in the twilight of his career, okay? This is the last few years we're going to see LeBron James play. And what he's been able to do in Cleveland, what he was able to do in Miami, you can never take that away from him. One of the best to ever do this, maybe the best. But the pressure now because of this to win a title, there was always going to be massive pressure on him to win a title in L.A. You don't want to end your chapter of winning championships at every turn without one. You just don't. Like, they brought him there to win a title. And now, dude, L.A. will be devastating.
They've been favorites pretty much all year long.
Yeah.
So,
and they're in good shape. I think, what, about a 5-game lead now in the Western Conference, barring a barring a collapse, they should have the one seed in the West, yep. which will give them, you know, that strong home court advantage path to the finals. Milwaukee is an incredibly good team, though. You know, they're not going away. They've already clinched a playoff spot earlier than even the Warriors ever clinched a playoff spot. Milwaukee is already in. So if they get to the finals, it's not going to be easy. And, you know, they still got to get through the Clippers and the Nuggets, Rockets. I mean, there's a lot of good teams in the West just to get there as usual. So, yeah. But now LeBron has this extra weight on his shoulders, this extra pressure of the entire city. Not just the normal we expect to win in Los Angeles pressure, but that it means something beyond himself.
Well, they're set up for a storybook. I mean, this is the storybook right now.
I almost wonder if it obviously does add more pressure, but it's almost like this is going to happen.
See,
like we have to win.
It's destiny.
You know, Paulie, you know, destiny, 2001 Yankees in the World Series. I mean, how'd that work? It didn't work. You know, when an entire country is rooting for the New York Yankees, you know that that should have happened, and they were the better team. They were the better team than the friggin' Diamondbacks. They were supposed to win that World Series. Didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And I think the pressure is going to be tremendous on them because of this incident. But I mean, look.
But the players will have to feel like we got Kobe on our side.
100%.
We got this.
100%.
There's going to be an air of confidence.
I mean, there should be an air of confidence anyway, right? Like, you should be pretty confident in LeBron,
LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
And that bald guy. I mean, it's but it's going to be a tall order because, hey, listen, and let's call it what it is. If you're another team, you want to take the Lakers down. And you want to take the Lakers down this year. You just do. You're not going to roll over for anybody.
Bottom line, yesterday's event was pitch perfect.
Yeah, they really pulled it off. Alicia Keys, yeah.
Vanessa Bryant, it was all fantastic. Kudos to everyone who took part in that yesterday.
Couldn't have been easy, man.
Tough subject, but I thought we needed to address that simply because it was such a huge story. Now on a completely different note, let's turn things over to our assistant producer back in our Entercom 97.3 The Fan Studios. It's Hammer Time.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer Time.
Hammer, you are a thoughtful, sensitive young man. I don't know how you follow that discussion, but it is your turn to try to do so. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I'll follow it up with this. So I feel like everybody grows up and you just want to be a superhero. You know, superhero this, superhero that. Well, I was thinking, yo, it would actually really suck to be a superhero. For one, I was thinking of like me being Hulk. Like, let's say I was Hulk. The maddest I ever get is when I'm stuck in traffic. It would suck if I was stuck in my Dodge Charger and I turn into this giant, huge creature 15 times the size of a human being. Yeah. Now I got to get a new car. Everyone's freaking out because there's a monster, which is just going to make traffic worse. And then if you're Superman or Batman, if there's anything going wrong in the city, you got to be the guy that fixes it. You got to stop everything you're doing. Like Superman, he spends a whole day as Clark Kent at work, does a 9-hour shift. And then after that, you got to be a superhero. They get no sleep. I think it would suck.
Downsides to being a superhero.
Ben Higgins, are you a superhero?
Yeah, man. Superman sounds a lot like you.
Except I have no superpowers. Super tiredness.
Super tiredness.
Super tiredness.
Hey, Amber, did you see my tweet yesterday? Ben fell asleep at a stoplight.
I didn't fall asleep.
It was terrifying.
But then I simply took a little rest. Well, I knew it was one of those lights that was going to take forever.
He also drives and looks over and looks at all the restaurants and calls them out as we go.
I thought in the tweet you said that while he was sleeping. So I was like, does Ben sleep and then just randomly shouts restaurants?
No, here it is. So we're at the stoplight and we're driving our 66 miles back to our hotel from the game. Amazing. We had to leave the game early. Otherwise, we would have been in 3.5 hours of traffic, Hammer, as you were just referring to. You would have had me as the Hulk just raging on people. But we pull up to the stoplight. I glance over. He's dead asleep at the stoplight.
I'm not dead asleep.
I go, hey, what are you doing? It's like 3 p.m. What are you doing? He goes, oh, I just rest my eyes at the stoplight. Then we start leaving. He's like, oh, look at that. Hometown buffet. Hey, Chili's. Hey, there's a Hooters. I'm like,
Red
good.
Lobster.
I'm riding with my dad right now. This is what's happening. It's amazing.
It's a red light nap, as he called it.
A red light nap. And he says he does this all the time, Hammer.
I need to be efficient with my time.
It's amazing.
Sitting at a stoplight for like 90 seconds. I could be doing something better. And since I'm not on my phone because I'm trying to be a responsible driver, I think, what can I do other than do get a little rest in?
Sleeping while driving is not responsible.
It's like the least responsible.
I'm not driving. I'm just sitting there, and I'm not asleep. I'm just
resting. How many times
resting.
Do you wake up from a car honking?
Never.
How many times do you wake up from in your car and you're on the road driving?
Never.
That's what I want to know.
Never. It's not that. You're totally misrepresenting what this was. This was simply my – it's been sunny. It's a lot of, you know, dust
hot.
In your eyes. We're out at the ballpark.
Yep.
I'm just getting a little rest on the eyes. It's
incredible.
Not sleeping.
He was asleep.
Not
he
asleep.
Was 100% asleep. Hammer. Yeah, I don't see – you know, I guess those are some downsides of being a superhero. But, I mean, given the chance, I'm definitely going to take the chance to be a superhero.
Are you kidding me? No. There's no way that you, after like doing a radio show, then someone comes up to you and goes, hey, man, we really need your help downtown. You're going to be cool with that for
Fine.
The rest of your life?
Yeah.
No, you're not. I know.
I love to help. I'm a helper.
No, you, dude, you're lazy.
I have a hard time saying no.
Oh, you're stuck on the couch and now you got to get up and move? No way, bro. No that's way
fair.
You're doing that.
That's fair. And the older I get, the less I want to do. Yeah, you're right.
And then
I would have been a good superhero when I was young.
And then, like, the end of Incredibles when the Fast Flash, when he can't compete in, like, track or do any
Hammer,
sports.
I'm 44 years old. I haven't seen The Incredibles, for the love of God.
It's one of the best superhero movies of all time. You need to watch it.
Not bad at all.
Again.
Hammer, thanks for taking us on a ride.
You're welcome.
Stop. Hammer time.
A ride which we didn't fall asleep on, just to be clear. Coming up, you get the Rindle Report. Paul Rindle with his headlines for the morning. Plus, a little early today, we're going to give away some tickets to see Brad Paisley. Coming to North Island Credit Union Amphitheater, your chance to win. Coming up next, Ben Woods, live from Padres Spring Training in Peoria, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.